Today we look at the sixth of the 10 moral attributes of God. So help me remember the five that we've looked at. Righteousness, holiness, justice, not yet, it's coming. Mercy, and don't forget the big one for the world, love. So those are the five that we've looked at. So we started with holiness. From that stems his righteousness and his justice. Looked at his love. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we looked at mercy. Today, grace. Mercy and grace are to go together well, like justice and righteousness do. But we will find out today that our God is a gracious God. Amen? And if he wasn't, we wouldn't be saved. Praise the Lord. So who would read Exodus 34:6 to introduce that this is part of God's character, that he is a gracious God? Any volunteers, Beryl? Amen. Merciful and gracious. You're going to see those two go together a lot in Scripture. But our God is a God of grace. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we go to your word. Teach us as we continue to learn more about you, Lord. May it just draw us closer to you. And may we have that desire to be like you. And we thank you for your word and the privilege to study it. Now, guide us in your truth in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll quickly look at some scriptures just to show that it's part of who God is. Psalm 84:11. And then the next person, Psalm 111:4, the next person who's willing to read. So who would read Psalm 84:11? We're establishing that grace is part of who God is, one of his moral attributes. Who would read 84:11? Philip?
The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. When good things will he withhold from him that walk uprightly.
He will give grace. Amen. And then who would read Psalm 111:4? Come on, we'll just tick along here. Who's my next volunteer? Psalm 111:4. Thank you, Mark.
He that hath made his wonderful works to be remembered, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
Amen. Psalm 116:5, who would read that next for us? And then 1 Peter 2:3. Psalm 116:5. Thank you, Beryl. Notice they're in the same verse again, grace and mercy. And then 1 Peter 2:3, who would read that one for us? And we're just laying down the groundwork that this is part of God's character. James?
If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
The Lord is gracious. 1 Peter 4:10 and 1 Peter 5:10. The last two, just establishing that our God is a gracious God. Who would read 1 Peter 4:10? Brad?
As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
The manifold grace of God. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:10. Philip?
But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, set you.
The God of all grace. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. So our God is a God of grace. Do we know what grace is? We hear the word all the time, but do we know what it is? God is gracious. He's a God of grace. What is grace? Yes, it's God's kindness and favor. That and the reason Jackie used the word unmerited is because it's not deserved, is it? We only deserve hell. That's it. That's all we deserve. But God is a God of grace. And so he's gracious in his dealings with his creation. And as we'll see, it is the grace of God that leads to salvation. But first, I just want to mention the first mention of the word grace is actually in Genesis. In regards to Noah. Genesis chapter 6, it says, "And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And that's the first mention of grace having to do with, here we have a wicked world. God's about to destroy the world, but God says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was someone left, and God was going to show grace to the humanity. He could have just destroyed all of us, right? But instead, he started over with Noah and his family, and Noah found grace. So it is God's grace that we can be, by God's grace, that we can be saved. And Romans has a lot to say about that. So let's go to Romans 3 and just understand that if it wasn't for God's grace, we would not have salvation. Romans 3:24, and then the next person read Romans 5:15. And we'll see here that it is by God's grace we are saved. Who would read Romans 3:24? Beryl? Justified freely by His grace. And then who would read Romans 5:15? Jackie?
But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man he did, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto me.
Notice it says, the gift by grace. The gift by grace. That's our salvation. Amen. All right. Romans 11:6, the next person, and then Galatians 2:21. And we're establishing that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be saved. So who would read Romans 11:6? A little bit of a tongue twister, but a very important truth. Philip? So this verse is making it very clear that you cannot have a mixture of grace and works when it comes to salvation. And yet how many religious groups try to have a mixture? They say, oh yes, you get saved by grace, but then you've got to do works. Paul's saying here, no, you can't have one the both. It's one or the other. If it's by grace, then it's not works. But if it's of works, it's not by grace. There's only... it's got to be one or the other. So yes, you can earn your way to heaven just being perfect from the day you're born till the day you die. So we've all failed there, which means there's only one other alternative, and that is to get saved by grace, by the unmerited favor of our Lord, and receive the gift that we can't earn. So you can't mix grace and works. And then Galatians 2:21, very similar concept here. Anybody? Jackie?
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Imagine that statement. Christ is dead in vain. How many people are trying to earn heaven through works? And when they are, they're basically saying Christ is dead in vain. Because if you can earn your way to heaven, then why did Jesus die? How sad. It's belittling the unbelievable value of the death of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God led to salvation. I'm not going to frustrate that by saying that now people can earn heaven through the law. That just frustrates the grace of God. All right, Ephesians 1:7, next person, and then Ephesians 2:7-9. The next person. So who would read Ephesians 1:7? Philip?
Whom he redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
According to the riches of his grace. So praise God for his grace. Now, this is a really good passage. Ephesians 2:7-9. Most of you know 8-9, but who would read 7-9 of Ephesians 2? Because we're talking about the grace of God here. Mr. Scott?
And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
So notice, in the ages to come, that's our age, as we'll see, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And of course, he did that at Calvary. And then he goes on to say, for by grace are you saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved because God is a gracious God and offers us the gift of salvation. And then Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So God saved us through grace. But once we are saved, the grace doesn't stop. Amen? Then God just keeps giving us grace. Grace to be saved, yes, but now grace to live. Because we need grace all the time, do we not? We need grace every day. And the longer you're saved, the more you realize how important God's grace is. So let's understand now that we are also living by the grace of God and through the grace of God. Romans 5:2 for the first person. Romans 5:20 to 21 for the second. So who would read Romans 5:2? We're talking about how God provides his grace on a daily basis to his children. Romans 5:2. Who's my volunteer? Philip?
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
This grace wherein we stand. And then Romans 5:20 to 21. Who would read that for us? The grace of God. Brad? Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 2 Corinthians 13:14. So who would read 12:9? You know this passage well, where Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his life. Mark?
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I dwell together in my infirmity, that the power of Christ.
Paul said, remove the thorn. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Isn't that beautiful? Paul, you can live through my grace with the thorn. My grace is sufficient. And then 2 Corinthians 13:14. I would read that for us. Beryl? Amen. I love this verse because it lists the Trinity. Did you see that? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. So all three parts of the Trinity are in that verse. All right, 2 Timothy 2:1 for our next person, and then Hebrews 4:16. 2 Timothy 2:1, who would read that? We're establishing that that God's grace continues daily in our lives once we are his children. 2 Timothy 2:1. Somebody. Becky. So notice, be strong in this grace. Just as Paul was told, my grace is sufficient. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, be strong in the grace. Lean on God's grace. Rely on God's grace to live your Christian life. And then Hebrews 4:16, we're very familiar with this passage about the throne. Who would read that? Philip?
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Isn't that beautiful? Of all the things God could have called his throne for praying Christians, he refers to it as the throne of grace, the place to find grace. Amen? And when we go to God's throne, one of the reasons we're going there is to find grace. We need grace. Hebrews 12:28 for the next person. Hebrews 13:9 after that. Who would read the Hebrews 12:28? Come on, Jackie.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace,
Amen. And then Hebrews 13:9. Come on, Philip.
You're not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, but it's a good thing that the heart may be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them, but have been occupied therein.
Praise the Lord. James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5. Who would read James 4:6? Mark?
That he giveth more grace.
Now, why would he give grace unto the humble? Which is also in 1 Peter 5:5. What's the humility have to do with it? Any thoughts? Well, what's the opposite of humility?
Pride.
Why would grace not be given to the proud? They don't need it, right? Because they believe they can do it on their own. Exactly. So there's a humility aspect there to grace. He says the same thing, 1 Peter 5:5, that giveth grace to the humble. When we have pride, we don't, you know, that means we're self-sufficient. It means we can handle it. So we don't need the grace of God. I mean, we do, but we in our minds, we don't. So he gives grace to the humble. In other words, Lord, I need you. I need your grace. I can't do this on my own. As long as that's our attitude, God's grace is there. How much? More. Amen? James 4:6. He giveth more grace. More than what? More than anything. There's no limits. So 2 Peter 3:18. Somebody read that for us. We memorized this at family camp 2 years ago. Jackie? Grow in grace. Isn't that good? Grow in grace. Keep growing in grace. God's grace. Leaning on God. Now, just like with all the other moral attributes that we've looked at so far, God wants us to emulate this one as well. He wants us to be gracious to others. And we are, if you go to 1 Peter 4:10, what you're going to find is we are even stewards of God's grace. And then Ephesians 4:29 for the next person. So who would read 1 Peter 4:10? Thank you, Robin. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're stewards of His manifold grace. In other words, we get grace from God to live the life like we should. God wants us to pass it on. Amen? We're stewards of it. Because it's this infinite reservoir. He wants us to now show grace to others as He shows grace to us. And then Ephesians 4:29, who would read that? Meryl? Amen. So our speech should be with grace. And then Colossians 4:6 says the same thing. Somebody read that. Colossians 4:6. Volunteer? Philip? So let your speech be always with grace. Always your speech should be with grace. As we see there in Colossians 4:6. So we have the grace to be saved. We have the grace to live. In the scriptures, we even have grace to give. And it's a special grace that God mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are the chapters about giving. Giving back to the Lord, giving to others. And Paul refers to it as a grace to give. So who would read 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 1 and 7? Just 1 and 7. We won't read the whole passage to save time. But what you're going to find is this is giving grace. Jackie?
Moreover, brethren, we do you to witness the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also.
So he's speaking to the church there at Corinth, and he says, you're abounding in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and love. Also make sure you abound in this grace, which is the grace of giving, which is what the whole chapter is about. The grace to give. And Paul talks about how they gave to him and how they gave out of the abundance, and they even gave out of their poverty. But they gave. They had the grace to give. And I believe that God even gives us the grace to die. Amen? If we're fortunate enough to have a deathbed, not all of us are. Some people die instantly. But if we're fortunate enough to have our deathbed, God gives us the grace to die gracefully. If we lean on Him, the grace is always there. And He giveth more grace. And we live, we're so blessed because we live in a dispensation that's named, what? The dispensation of the grace of God. We live in the dispensation of grace. That is the name of the church age from a dispensational point of view. So from Calvary until the trumpet blows, this is the age of grace. And how blessed are we to live in this age. So in John 1, if you want to turn there, the Bible tells us how Jesus Christ brought in this dispensation. And then Paul will even let us know that that is the name of it. So who would read John 1:17? Volunteers, Philip?
The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
So the dispensation just prior to this one, it was still the dispensation of law. It went all the way from Moses until Calvary. It says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then if you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul even refers to this gospel that we preach by this word. So who would read Acts 20, 24? Come on, Acts 20, 24, somebody. Not that long, Mark.
But none of these things move on. But none of these things moving, neither count I or like air unto myself, so that I might finish my course of the joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
The gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that beautiful? When we preach the gospel, we are preaching the gospel of the grace of God. That God in His grace offers us the gift of salvation on the merits of what Jesus did at Calvary when He died and rose again for our sins. The gospel of the grace of God. And then Ephesians 3 verse 2, Paul seals it up for us. Volunteer? Philip? So who was it given to? It was given to Paul. Given me. Paul was given the truth, the information, if you will, about this dispensation of the grace of God. You know why that is? Because it was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets and saints. The church age was not seen by them. We know that because Paul tells us so. He says it was a mystery. Nobody knew about it until God gave it to Paul. The reason for that is because God always had things set up to go either way. Now, God knew which way they would go because of the stubbornness of the Jews. But when Jesus and John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," that was a genuine offer. And if the nation of Israel would have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah, then the kingdom was available. And there would not have been a church age. They would have gone right into the kingdom. Jesus would have taken over and ruled from Jerusalem, just like it's been prophesied, and scripture would have been fulfilled perfectly. But they rejected Jesus Christ. They nailed him to a cross. He died and rose again and brought in a new dispensation called the dispensation of the grace of God, the church age. The parenthetical dispensation in between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. Because in the 70th week is the tribulation. 69th week brought us up to Calvary. And Daniel didn't see that. Because he wasn't allowed to. Because it was, I don't know how to say it, but it was optional maybe. If the Jews would have accepted Christ, which they didn't. So praise God that we live in the age of grace. He giveth more grace. He is the God of all grace. He has saved us by his grace. He gives us his gift of salvation because of his grace. And we daily live through and by his grace. And don't ever stop going to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How much? More. Amen? Our God is a God of grace. And praise God for that. Any thoughts or questions about the grace of God? Brother Mark?
I just called to chime in on that because it wouldn't have been true for a while.
That's exactly right. If they would have known about it in advance, then it would have been kind of like Calvinism. Right? God would have forced it to be so. But he didn't. He let man choose for it to be so. Which is what God does. He gave us a free will. Any other thoughts or questions? The manifold grace of God. And there's always more. Amen? But you just got to humbly ask for it. Pride is the opposite. If you have pride, no grace available. If you're humble and you ask for it in humility and acknowledge the need, it's always there. As God says, my grace is sufficient to get us through anything. Amen. No other thoughts or questions?